work together.
Morning, church. If you have a physical copy of the word, you can turn to Genesis 2. We will be in verses 18 through the rest of the chapter. It reads, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.' Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then he said, 'This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.' And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Amen.
You can go ahead and be seated. We're in the second week of our series called More Than. And last week, Ryan so graciously taught for me while I was away. And we looked at what it means to have a friendship that is more like family. How about I use the term like a family of friends, people who are like brothers and sisters, even though they're not blood kin, they may be branch kin, so to speak. We're in the tree of God, and now then we have become brothers and sisters. We are a part of the family. I've said before, I used to think it was unique when I was a little boy. I grew up in a church where everyone was called brother and sister. And I would think, why are we doing this? But, you know, as the older I've gotten, the more I've looked at the Word, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. That's who He's put us in relationship with if we've surrendered and submitted our lives to Christ. So we're looking in this series called More Than. We're spending 4 weeks, this is week 2 of 4, looking at the most important or what should be the most important relationships that we can have. Last week was friendship, more than friendship, family. This week, we're in a marriage topic, talking about it's more than a contract, and we're going to talk about what does that look like. And I want to say from the very beginning that I know that this topic could be a difficult topic for many people. Number one, maybe you have been in a previous marriage, and you still carry around some guilt and some shame. Maybe you are in a situation where you've lost the spouse, and so things are being brought up as we talk about marriage. Maybe you're single, and you're desiring to have a spouse. Maybe it could even be that you're in like this marriage that you're going, man, my marriage is rocking. It is awesome. What do I need this for? My prayer has been this, is that wherever you are today, that you would hear, you would have ears to hear, that the Spirit would speak to you, and that you would be encouraged to take another step in what it is, the gift of marriage that God has given you. I was thinking this past week about marriage and my marriage. I've had I have a wonderful marriage. It has not come without its own trials and difficulty, one of which happened several years ago when Amy and I went on a canoeing trip. What's so funny about this? We had some really good friends in the church here at LifePoint, and they wanted to take us canoeing. I'm not the canoeing kind of guy, yet maybe news to some of you, but hey, why don't we'll go do this. They're husband and wife, two-person canoe. We get in the canoe, he and his wife, me and my wife, Amy, and like they take off. We're at the shore splashing each other, trying to figure out what are we doing? How do we do this? I feel like I am digging water. I mean, I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm sure she's doing her best. I mean, we're not getting anywhere. We're not getting anywhere. In fact, I look up and it's like a drain. We're just circling. That's all we're doing. We're just doing this. At some point, I remember going, Amy, put the paddle down. Stop whatever you're doing. Just stop. So I'm like trying to give it all I've got. And next thing I realize, we've like veered off into some bushes. They're like way on down, the people who took us. And I turn around. There they are. They show back up. Like they're like making this look like, hey, this is like, what is this? They're just, and the man says, hey, how about I put Amy in the canoe with me? And he called his wife's name and said, how about she get in the canoe with you? We were out on a river here in Smyrna trying to get to some little island at Percy Priest. And Percy Priest, we eventually get out there. And at some point, it was like, oh, yeah, I'm getting this. I know what this is about. You can tell my stroke. You're going, yeah, you don't know what you're doing, Kyle. We get to the island. We sit out there. My arms are like noodles. Like noodles. In fact, right now, I can still feel it as a little bit. You know, that's a lot like what marriage is, though. It's a lot like that. It's like a two-person canoe. Each of you have an oar or a paddle, and you're like, you've got to work together, like stroke for stroke. You don't always want to be on the same side. You want to be on opposite sides, and you're working that thing. And there are days when it feels like you're just circling, right? Just feels like you're circling. And someone has to go, hey, hold on. There are days when you may feel like you're the only one that is giving it all it's for. And then there are other days when it's like, oh, we've hit a current and like we are zooming. This is incredible. Listen, marriage is a lot like that. We have to be on the same page. We have to be working together. We have to be making in rhythm what we're all about. As a pastor, I do a lot of premarital counseling. I do a lot of after premarital counseling, marriage counseling, and what I've seen is a lot of times people push off from the shore with different expectations, different strokes for different folks, and they want to go in their own direction, and they just keep circling or they end up veered off course. My hope today, as we look at this passage that Eli just read, and I hope you have your Bibles and a piece of paper, a pen, or you can thumb some notes in, because I want you to be engaged. I want you to stay with me. This topic is huge, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to scratch the surface a little bit, but the things that I want to give you today, I'm going to give you two words that I think are really, really important about marriage. I want to give you two words that you both have to be in agreement on. And if you're followers of Christ, this is from the scripture. Two words about marriage, and I'm going to give you, at the end, one reference point for your canoe, for your marriage, for your boat, for where you are headed. The first is this. We're talking about more than a contract. Marriage is a covenant. Marriage is a covenant. In our world today, marriage has been defined as a contract with all these clauses. And if one of you don't meet up or live up to the clause, we can like bail. We can pull the ripcord. We can hit the eject button and we're out. I want you to see in Scripture, look at Genesis chapter 2, what we just read, Genesis 2, 24. Look at verse 24. Moses is writing. He says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. When I use the word covenant, I'm referring in this passage to two words, hold fast. Circle the words hold fast or write those in. That maybe you have an older translation or another translation that says instead of hold fast, it says to cleave. You ever heard that? To leave and to cleave. Well, cleave, hold fast, in the original language that the Old Testament was written in, it means to be glued to be stuck together. This is the picture of covenant that God designed for us, that he's taking two parties and he's bringing them together. I don't know if you've thought about this. We're in chapter 2 of the entire Bible. Chapter 2 of the entire Bible. And in chapter 1, there was nothing. You know that, don't you? The beginning of it, there was nothing. It's called ex nihilo. Out of nothing, something came. He created the heavens, the earth, the skies, the waters, the fish, the animals. And then he created Adam. Adam wasn't always. He created Adam. And after he created Adam, he created Eve. a man and a woman. He created Adam and he created Eve for Adam, and then he created marriage for both of them to be a picture, to be a symbol, to be a sign of a covenant. Just these two are together for a lifetime because I'm going to be their God for a lifetime. I've created them. I love them. I will never leave them. I will never forsake them. This is all in the second chapter. This is the picture that God designed. Now, I want to be really clear here. If this were in the United States and it was in a patent office, God would own the patent for marriage. It's his. He designed it, he thought about it, he created it, and he put it together. Now, our world today, in the Western society that we live in, we go to the courthouse, to the administrative center, wherever it is, and if you want to be married legally in the United States, you're going to the administrative center and you're saying, hey, we want to be married. I want to be really clear. Biblically, that is male and female. Male and female. He created them. And you go to the courthouse. They'll give you a license. I want you to know what it is doing. It is recognizing legally in our states, in the United States, your marriage. But the state of Tennessee did not come up with marriage. God came up with marriage. He created it. He invented it. So if we want a marriage and a covenant, we want to be able to hold fast for life, we have to go to where it's talked about. Go to the creator. Go to the designer. There's three words really quickly that I'm going to give you that go with the word covenant that I think help us to understand what a covenant is. And so the first one is this. A covenant is divine. God created it. He started it. It's his. He's the one that dreamed it up. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 in chapter 2 says, God declared it's not good for man to be alone. Literally, it's not good for man to be alone. Can I get a witness? It's not good for me to be alone. It's not good. But I want to tell you, it's not good for you as a wife to be alone either, or as a lady to be alone. God has created us for community. He's created us for a very specific community. He's created us for a very specific community. It's called marriage. And so here we have the very first marriage ceremony. God, how did it happen? Well, God, Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 20 and 22, said that God put Adam to sleep. He came to Adam and he opened up his side and he took out a rib. God could have created Eve the exact same way that he created Adam, out of the dust. But he didn't. He had a design where he took the woman out of the side of man. He didn't take her out of the head. You may have heard this before. He didn't take her out of the head so that she would rule over him. She didn't take him out of the feet so that man would walk over her. He took woman out of the side of man so that they would be partnered side by side, equal before the Lord. God designed this. He said it's not good. So since the very creation of the world, God has designed a covenant relationship for a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, to be together. A covenant relationship that is his divine design. The second word is this. It's exclusive. It is exclusive. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Look at it with me. Verse 24. A man shall leave his father and his mother and shall hold fast to his wife. Hold fast to his wife. No, I don't know if you've ever thought about this before. You realize this counsel, this command that the Lord gave about marriage, there was no mother or father. God designed her, designed him. He gave some preemptive counsel before there were ever even children. Adam and Eve had no mother and father, earthly. So what is this? Well, what the Lord God, I believe, is saying here is that when you have children and they come together and they're going to get married, the number one relationship in that new marriage is the spouse. So when my kids got married, did you realize that I am no longer my son or my daughter's number one relationship? My wife is no longer their number one relationship. You know who is? Their spouse. Their spouse. This hit home to me. My daughter had gotten married. And men, you're going to relate to this. Women, you're going to relate to it when it's your boys, your young men. My daughter had gotten married. They had not been married long. She came to my office at Smyrna when I was on staff there. I'm still on staff there. But when she came to my office, she walked in. She's crying. I'm thinking, it's not been long enough. Something's not right here. I mean, you've not been married long enough. What's going on? She begins to tell me through tears that the apartment that they're in, somehow, some way, the rent has gone up unexpectedly. What are we going to do? Thanks be to the Lord God, His Holy Spirit. I said, well, my son-in-law, his name is Kyle also. Isn't that great? I said, let me ask you this. What does Kyle say? And it's like a light went off in her eyes right then. I said, you haven't talked to him yet, have you? And she said, no. I said, well, here's what we're going to do. This is what you're going to do. I'm going to get up, I'm going to walk out this door, and you're going to call him. And you're going to talk to him and see what he thinks. She said, okay, I'll do that. She got up, or I got up, I walked out the door, and I started going, I am no longer the number one man in her life. It's her husband. Men and women, do you know how you can best help one another? You may have to cut the apron strings for your wife. You may have to take the wallet from the husband. Okay? I say this because the amount of counseling I do about parents who are so involved with their adult children's marriages that it gets in the way. No more. If you want, you love these kids, you cut those strings. Because I wanted you to hear this. This is an exclusive relationship, not for parents to be involved in. We push them together. Can I dig a little more on this for just a moment? Listen, men, this hits with men probably. Well, it hits with men and women. You realize the friends that you had, they're no longer primary in your life any longer? It is the husband and the wife, the spouses, that are the primary relationship. Where you don't, please, 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 if you're having trouble together, don't go tell your best friend all the dirty laundry. Go to someone who has successfully navigated marriage a little bit more than you, and you're letting them walk with you. Because this is what I have found, whether it is parents or your best friend, you're always going to be their child and their best friend, and typically you're going to fall down on they're going to come to your defense over the other one. You don't want anything coming between that relationship because it is exclusive. Let me dig a little bit more. Can I dig just a little bit more? Listen, if you're on social media and you have an ex relationship, a former boyfriend, a former girlfriend, delete them today. Because it will lead you to trouble. It'll lead you to trouble. I have seen it. I've walked in it with many people. Anything that comes between the divine design and the exclusivity of husband and wife will cause a problem. There shouldn't be, and this is where I'm getting old school here. Just hear me, okay? I can't think of a reason why a man or a woman should be texting the other sex. I get it. There probably is some business things that you have to do, but you do it through your business portal. Like if Amy and I are texting opposite sex in this church, typically you're going to get me and Amy on the same text. And you may be wondering, why is Pastor Kyle on this text? Because we're not doing that, because I don't want anything, she didn't want anything to come between the exclusivity of our relationship. And folks, I want to tell you, what you think is harmless, the enemy is going, maybe I can just wedge in right here. There's a divine design that's, and it's exclusive. Here is the third thing really quickly. This covenant is permanent. It's divine design, it's exclusive, and it's permanent. Jesus is talking in Matthew chapter 19. You can just write this down. You don't have to turn over there. In Matthew chapter 19, the Pharisees are trying to get his attention. In fact, they're trying to really stump him in a way. And they ask him about divorce. And Jesus turns it back to marriage, and he quotes Genesis chapter 2. He goes back to the marriage passage, and he says this in Matthew chapter 19, verse 6, the last part of it. He says, "What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." Let no man separate. Now, I want to say this to you. This is where some people in the room, you may be feeling a weight. You may be carrying something of guilt and shame. And I want to tell you that in Christ, there is freedom. Listen, it takes two people to be married, and it takes two people to stay together married. I don't know your situation. But what I cannot do is tell you less than what the Word of God tells us today. This is why it's so very important for you singles who are looking for someone, that you are looking for someone who sees this covenant relationship as something that is God-given, something that is divine, something that is exclusive, and something that will be permanent. Since Genesis chapter 2, when God brought Eve, he walked her down the aisle and gave her to Adam. Since that day, do you realize the next chapter, sin entered the world, and from that point, marriages began to deteriorate to the point that today there are people all across the United States, maybe there are some in this room, who think that marriage is outdated and obsolete. But I want to tell you it's not. It is by the design of God. I was reading this week U.S. Census Bureau, some of their data on marriages. 70 years ago in the United States, the average age for a guy to get married was 22. Today, it's 30. The average age for a young lady to get married was 20. Today, it's 29. In the United States today, half of the adult population is unmarried. Half of the adult population, less than half are married. And of the less than half that are married, 50% of those will end in divorce. Folks, this is the state of marriage today, and it's not what God has designed or called to. Thanks be to God, there is grace, there is hope, there is freedom, there is mercy within the body of Christ. There is mercy in him. But here's what I want you to see. Culture today would say that marriage is all about you don't meet my needs, I'm not meeting your needs. You're not doing this, I'm not going to do this. It's not working out, let's do something different. You go do your thing, I'll do my thing. I'll find someone new, you find someone new. This is not how God designed marriage. God has designed marriage for it to be a covenant, a promise that we make one to another before the Lord. When I do marriage ceremonies, you know, it's kind of a big deal today where people write their own vows to one another. You ever seen those? I always tell folks, you can write your own vows, you can give those, but we're also going to do the traditional vows. And here's why I do that, because when we do traditional vows, what you're doing is when I lay the vows before you, you're responding to God, I'm going to do this. And then you're going to turn to your spouse and you're going to repeat those vows to say, this is a covenant that I'm entering in and this is a promise I'm making to you. Folks, we as believers are called. It's not good for us to be alone. We need to be, he's designed us to be in a marriage. He's designed us for his divine design that is exclusive and permanent. This is what he's called us towards. And I pray that even now, while I'm speaking, while you're hearing this, that the Spirit is speaking to you about, wow, this is what God's called me to. Here's the second word that I want you to see. Marriage, not only is it a covenant, marriage is complementary. It's complementary. I don't mean like you're giving compliments to your spouse. You did good. Thank you for this. I'm talking about that it is It completes us. The word complementary means counterpart, completion, that it is complementary. Look at verse 18 of chapter 2. Verse 18 of chapter 2, then the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. I'll make a helper that is fit for him. God said, Adam, it's not good that you're alone. Adam was down. He had been naming all the animals. He got down, to be real honest with you, because there wasn't one like him that fit him, that matched him. And the Lord God said, I have one for you. He put him to sleep, brought her to him, and said, this is a helper fit for you. The word fit in this passage right here means to complement. A very, very base illustration of this. A very base illustration. You know, peanut butter and jelly, they go together, don't they? They complement each other. You ever been to a party and people start bringing out snacks? Typically what they do is they bring a sweet and a salty because they complement each other. Listen, very few people want peanut butter and peanut butter. That's just sticky. That doesn't work really well together, all right? You don't just want more and more and more salt. It does not work. The Lord has designed us for complementary relationships, and he has built it into Genesis 1. Turn back to Genesis 1 for just a moment. That should be one page over probably for you. Notice in creation, it is built into creation. God created light, and he created... See, you think that is opposites. No, that's complements. He created light, he created darkness. He created the heavens and the earth. He created the sea and the... He created the birds of the air, and he created the animals on the... And on the land he created, also in the water he created fish. Think about the seasons. Think about the seasons. You have spring, where new life is bursting forth. And then you also have fall, where things begin to die off and fall away. You have summer, where it is burning hot, and you're standing there going, I cannot wait for winter to get here. See, they're complementary. They're complementary. So it's no wonder that he has created male and female, husband and wife. Not to compete with one another, not so that, oh, whatever she can do, I can do better. Whatever he can do, I'm going to one-up that. No, it's not about competition. It's about complementing. My entire life, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, your entire life as a man in this room is to bring glory to God. That's what you're for. Ladies, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, your entire life is about bringing glory to God alone. But did you realize that when he brings two children of his, husband and wife, together to complement one another, not to compete with one another, not to confuse one another, but we come together to complement in my strengths and her strengths. She complements my weaknesses. I complement her weaknesses. What we do is then we bring the most glory to God the Father. What I can't do alone, I need her. I need Amy to do with me so that we give glory to God. He brings us together. Now, what we typically think about is when we hear holding fast and fitting together, we think about a sexual relationship. Hang on, that's next week. You'll want to come back for that, all right? We're going to talk about that next week. But can I tell you what that truly is? That's about covenant. That's about the two becoming one. And that's so much more than a sexual relationship. Yes, we do complement each other. We fit together, if you know what I mean. But that's not what this is starting with. This is starting with two becoming one. This is why the Lord God said, in a covenant, you're not... But listen, if you try to split my flesh, what's going to happen? Death is going to happen. So when the two become one and they are split, death begins to happen. Some of you in here today, you recognize that. You've been through that. I'm a child of that, and I recognize that. But thanks be to God, his grace, his mercy is more. It's new every morning. And there's hope. There's hope. So today, where you're walking, where you're sitting, if you're feeling like, I don't know what I'm going to do, can I tell you that God has put you into a covenant? He has given you a spouse. complement you. Where you're weak, she is strong, or he is strong. So that you together, not in competition with one another, not rowing in different directions. Now, I want to say that that may mean that you've got to get some help to step in with you to help you learn how to row, how to get together. Turn over to the book of Ephesians real quick. I can't leave without talking about this. This is very important. This has to do with the complementary. Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm not going to read the passage. Your homework, catch this. Your homework is Ephesians 5, 22 to the end of the chapter. Ephesians 5, 22 to the end of the chapter. This is how the Lord God has designed us in complementary relationship. Men, can I start with you for just a moment? The scripture tells us, Paul writes, and he tells us that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. This is talk back time. How did Christ love the church? He died. He gave his life. I'm looking around here, and I know a lot of you men who are married in here, and I truly believe that there's not a man in here who would not die for his spouse. I'm looking around. There may be some. Don't tell me. We'll talk about it privately, all right? But here's the bigger question. Would you die to your desires and your wants today for her? The Bible tells us that Jesus himself said he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. Men, when is the last time you've tried to serve your wife without telling her? Doesn't count. Doesn't count if you're trying to do good things for her and you're telling her, isn't this good? It doesn't work. You're serving her. That passage goes on to say that our role is to love them as Christ loved them, to lay our lives down each and every day to serve them and to sanctify her. You know what the word sanctify means? To make her more like Christ. It's becoming more like Christ. How do I do that with Amy? How do you do that with your spouse? It says, sanctify her by the washing, the water of the word. That you're reading scripture with her, that you're pouring scripture over her, that you're praying scripture for her. Some of you right now are going, I'm out. I don't know if I can do that. I can tell you this. You want your marriage to begin to improve. You got to begin thinking about it as a covenant, one that my wife is given to me by God in a complementary way, and that when we begin to read scripture, as odd as that may feel for you because you've never done it, the Lord will begin to change everything there. You know why? Because it's not you being a good husband. It's the word of God coming to bear in your marriage. Ladies, I got to go back. Look, verses 22, 23, and 24. Do you know what your complementary role to him loving you as Christ is? That you're called to lovingly to submit to his leadership. To his leadership. To lovingly submit to his leadership. Men, you cannot make your wife submit to you. That's called manipulation at best, abuse at worst. Wives, you can't make him love you. You can't do that. That's called manipulation. Men, you're called and commanded to love your wives. Ladies, you are called and commanded, according to the word, to submit and follow his leadership. I can hear it right now because I hear it often. Well, if she would just follow my leadership, I'd love and serve her more. If he would love me, then I would want to follow his leadership. Do you know what that is? That is contractual language. You're not meeting this clause, and I'm not going to meet this clause. And then we have a clause off where we're just trying to figure out who's failing who. And you know what I'll do then? I'll pull the ripcord. I'll hit the eject button. I'm out. This is about covenant. It's about covenant. And I have to admit, I just want to tell you, it's hard. Do you realize we can't do this without the Spirit of God alive in us, giving us power? And you can't. Some of you right now, you're thinking, I don't even know what a covenant is. And you know why you don't know what a covenant is? Because you've never entered a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. Which points me to the reference point. It's covenant, it's complementary, And the last thing is this, is that our marriage refers to Christ and the church. Look at verse 32 of chapter 5. You can see it on the screen. Verse 32 of chapter 5 in Ephesians says this, "This mystery is profound." What is the mystery? The mystery of marriage. This mystery is profound. And I'm saying that it, your marriage, that it refers to Christ and the church. Folks, I don't know a better way to say it than what he says. Our marriages are not about us. It's not about my desires. It's not about your desires. It is about Christ and the church. Men, the way you love your wives and serve your wives and pour the word over her, pour your words of encouragement over her, you're reflecting Christ. Ladies, the way you follow his leadership, the way you submit to his leadership. Verse 33 goes on in chapter 5 and says, you show respect. Show respect to your husband. You know how you show respect to your husband? Follow his leadership. Men, you're wanting her to follow your leadership? Then begin to love her and serve her as Christ. And can I'm gonna put this in here. Hold on. I'm gonna put this in here. And if she doesn't follow you, you love her and you serve her. Ladies, if he's not loving and serving you, you continue to follow his leadership. Unless it's immoral, illegal, unethical, I mean, if it goes against the word of God, if it's not doing that, you follow his leadership and you pray, God, change him. There are marriages in our church today that 2 years ago I thought were dead and gone. It'll never be resurrected. Only the Spirit of God. And you know what? Only the Spirit of God moved in those marriages and changed them. I can tell you, he can do it. He will. I've seen it. 2 weeks ago, a couple that is a part of this body, came into the third service. Their names are Tommy and Nancy Green. Tommy told me, he said, yesterday, which would have been Saturday, Nancy and I celebrated our 67th wedding anniversary. 67. I want to live to be 67, much less be married 67 years. Can I tell you that can happen in your marriage? Can I tell you that can happen? I want to say this to the singles in this room. I believe that God, I want you to hear this, I believe that God is a very specific God. He's into detail. So much so that the word tells us that by his voice, everything is upheld. He spoke things into creation. If he is that detailed and that specific, I believe that he has somebody for you. The scripture says it's not good for man to be alone. I believe that he has someone for you. And the reason that I am right here, guys, right here. The reason I'm saying this to you, the reason I'm saying it to many of you is that I want you to be looking for someone who loves Jesus, not just calls themselves a Christian. Like, they love Jesus. They're seeking. They're following after. They believe in a covenant, that this is a promise we're making before God, that I'm in it. I believe that. I want you to know the same thing for those of us who are married. The Lord God loves you. He wants good for your marriage. Following here, I'm going to be outside, out in the hallway. If you want someone to talk with, I want to talk with you. I want to help get you connected to people who have been walking in strong marriages. Maybe I need to help you get involved with a counseling situation. I want to do that. I'd love to meet with you. I'm for your marriage because ultimately, this is about Christ and the church. Let's pray together. God, I love you. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for his death. I thank you for his burial. I thank you for his resurrection. I thank you because of the Holy Spirit opening my eyes. I'm now in a covenant relationship with you. By your design, you called me to an exclusive relationship with you, no one else. I can serve no other gods. That it is permanent. That I am held because you are the covenant keeper. Lord God, make us covenant keepers. Make us men and women who love our spouses. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things today. Amen.